Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 52. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their hosts. And I'm going to use this as a taking off place and speak to you for a while tonight on the subject, find your camp. Father, we pray now for your help and blessing as we endeavor to preach your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will help and that he will drive the word of God home. Please bless and help, I pray, make the word of God a blessing to somebody tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me begin by saying that what I'm preaching tonight would be considered a terrible thing by the ecumenicists and the new evangelicals, because to them, the worst thing possible is for there to be any kind of separation or any kind of division. The most important thing to the new evangelical is not truth. Rather, it's a superficial and artificial union and getting everybody together regardless of what they believe. And incidentally, the devil's going to use that philosophy to put together his one world apostate super church for the end time. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that Old Testament Israel and the things that happened to them, they were an example to New Testament Christians. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, he organized them in a particular way. And again, it's pointed out in the New Testament that Old Testament Israel was an example of New Testament Christianity. And so the Lord divided the nation of Israel up into different camps based on their tribe, based on their family, and so forth. The people were to live within their own camp. They weren't to just set up their tent anywhere they happened to be. They weren't to move from one camp to another, but rather each camp had a standard, an ensign, a banner, a flag, which represented that camp and what it stood for. And each person was to set up his tent in his camp by his banner. Now, a camp meant that the people who had something in common were together in whatever the camp was. The standard or the flag let everyone know who they were that were in camp by this flag. Now, may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there are also some different camps in Christianity today. And incidentally, even those folks who say that they're not in a camp are in a camp, regardless of what they say. They're in the camp that claims not to have a camp. They're like similar to the folks who criticize promotion and say that they don't believe in promotion. Well, that's their promotion. They promote themselves on the basis that they don't have any promotion. And so the folks who say that they're not in any camp are nevertheless still in a camp. Now, let me say very plainly that the camp that I'm in is the old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist camp. I'm not in the charismatic camp. I'm not in the moderate camp. I'm not in the ecumenical camp. I'm not in the new evangelical camp. I'm not in the compromising fundamentalist camp. I'm in the old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist camp. Now, just as they raised the ensigns of the camp in Old Testament Israel to let people know who they were and what they stood for, even so, when I look up at our ensign, I notice some things on the banner of our camp that we stand for. When I consider the camp that we're in and I look up at the flag, I see on that flag old-fashioned Bible preaching. If there's one thing I've tried to emphasize at Liberty Baptist Church, it's the old-time preaching of the Word of God. That's why I've never had a psychological seminar. That's why we haven't had living Christmas trees and musical cantatas to replace preaching services. That's why we've tried over the years to bring in the best preachers in the country, because I think God wants us to emphasize preaching. I'm not interested in Robert Shuler's possibility thinking. I'm not interested in Robert Tilton's success in life. I'm not interested in Norman Vincent Peale's power of positive thinking. In fact, I feel kind of like the old country preacher who said, I think Peale is appalling and Paul is appealing. And so I'm not real interested in Zig Ziglar's motivational speeches. I believe in old-fashioned Bible preaching. And when I look up at the ensign, at the flag, the banner points out where we are and where we stand, I see old-fashioned Bible preaching on that banner. I look at that banner and I see another thing on it. I see local church primacy on that banner. A long time ago, I stopped recommending Christian colleges that don't have a local church philosophy, other than as an alternative to something worse. The local church, that's the Lord's entity in this New Testament age and his organism for doing his work. Now, some of you, in fact, probably none of you will believe it, but it's true nevertheless. I was asked to preach a long time ago at Pensacola Christian College. Before that, I had already heard the leader of Pensacola Christian College as he was lecturing school principals, and I heard him say that the job of the principal of the Christian school is to protect the Christian school teachers from the preacher. And as I thought about that, and then he asked me to preach there, I thought to myself, my brother, you really don't want me to preach for you. And I'm simply saying that local church primacy, I see that on our banner that points out where we stand. A third thing that I see on that banner is a desire to see people saved, a desire to tell people about Christ and win them to him so they might not go to hell. And then I look up at that banner, and a fourth thing I see on it is standards. It sometimes irritates me a little bit that people who used to preach what I preach now call me a legalist for preaching what they used to preach. But I decided a long time ago that we need to have a Bible standard. Somebody said, well, you need to be more mellow. I'm not interested in being mellow. If you'll check it out, what you'll find is that mellow is just one step from rotten. And so when I look up on this battle flag, this banner that waves over us, I see old-fashioned Bible preaching. I see local church primacy. I see the desire to see sinners saved. I see standards on that banner. And then a fifth thing that I see on that banner are Baptist distinctives. I think a person can go overboard about being a Baptist, but I've got to say that I don't think that that's the problem with most Baptists. I think that the average Baptist either has no idea why he's a Baptist or is so worried about offending somebody who isn't a Baptist that they never stand up for what they believe in. You say, I don't want to go off the deep end. Believe me, dear friend, you're not in any danger of going off the deep end. Truth is, it's so shallow where you are, you could lay down on your back and not get your hair wet. We're Baptists. We are Liberty Baptist Church. So somebody said, well, there won't be any of these titles in heaven. Yeah, you're right. We won't need them when we get to heaven. We'll all believe correctly and be doctrinally correct. In other words, we'll all be Baptists when we get there. And so Then I look on that banner that marks out our position, and I see on that banner the old authorized King James Bible, not a new King James, the old King James. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored one of the great churches of a previous generation. In fact, at one time, it was the largest church in the world, Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But Dr. Robertson, when he resigned from that church, it did okay for the next 2 or 3 years because his assistant, Dr. Faulkner, took it and kept it up. But then they got another guy in, and this guy was a real strange man, and the church went down the chute. It's not even there anymore. For a long time, back in the 60s and 70s, Tennessee Temple College or University, which operated out of Highland Park Baptist Church, was one of just a handful of good Bible colleges where a person could go and receive training. But when Dr. Robertson left, not too many years later, the church had gone contemporary. Now it's not even a Baptist church anymore. They moved out somewhere in the Smoky Mountains and call it now the Church of the Highlands. But I asked Dr. Robertson what he thought happened that had caused such a dramatic decrease in the church. And I'll never forget what he said, because Dr. Robertson wasn't known as being real, real, real strong on the King James Bible, though he became stronger the older he got. But I asked him, well, Dr. Robertson, what do you think happened to Highland Park? He said, I'll tell you one thing that happened. They started using some other kind of Bible. And that surprised me to hear him say that, but I think he knew what he was talking about. And so as I look at this flag, this banner that marks out our position, I see a King James Bible on it. And then I look again, and I see something else. I see some buses on there. Some preachers who used to run buses have stopped now, and it's their business. They can do what they want to. But I believe that there will be more people in heaven because of the bus ministry than any single ministry of the New Testament church. I can trace my salvation back directly to the bus ministry. And so I see some buses on that flag. And then I see a couple of words on that flag that says non-charismatic. I believe that the charismatic movement will be one tool that the devil will use to unite the apostate church in the end time. But non-charismatic, I'm not interested in a bunch of jibber-jabber. I'm interested in what the Bible says. And then, as I look at this flag, this ensign that marks out our position, I see on that flag the word missions. We're supposed to do as Jesus said and preach the gospel to every creature, take the message to all the world. And so in order to do that, we have to support missionaries, and so we do. Now, these are things that are emblazoned on our banner representing the count that we're in. And so let me make four simple suggestions tonight, things that I think would be good. Number one, get in your camp. There in Numbers 152 again, the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp and every man by his own standard throughout their hosts. Get in your camp. Quit trying to fit in with everybody in every camp and just get in your camp. You're not going to fit in with everybody anyway. And it's amazing to me. I see these politicians, the Republicans, they're so very anxious for the Democrats to like them. I guess they don't understand they ain't ever going to like you. And you do well not to be worried about whether they like you or not. Just do what you were sent there to do. And so I'm not interested in trying to fit in with the new evangelicals. I know I don't fit in. I'm not interested in trying to stay in the good graces of the compromising fundamentalists. I'm not interested in trying to build bridges back to the Southern Baptist Convention that my heroes and mentors got kicked out of. I'm saying I might be able to be good neighbors with some of these folks, but I'm not going to try to fit in with them and become one of them. Get completely in your camp is what I'm saying. Don't worry about what so many different people think. Just worry about what the Lord thinks about it. And get in your camp and don't worry about pleasing everybody. You know, compromising is dangerous. I remember reading about a fellow back in the Civil War days, and he didn't want to be for either side. You know, he wanted to be for both or for neither. And so he decided that he'd come up with a good plan that he thought would keep him safe. And so what he did was he put on a blue top like the Yankees, and he put on gray pants like the Confederates. And he thought, well, if I do this, then neither the Yankees nor the Confederates will shoot at me, because the Yankees will see the blue top and won't shoot me, and the Confederates will see the gray pants and they won't shoot me. And so, you know what happened? What happened was the Yankees shot at him from the waist down and the Confederates shot at him from the waist up. And so I'm saying get in your camp. Number two, raise your standard high. Numbers chapter 2 and verse 2, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And so those in the camp of Judah, for example, were enthusiastic about it. They weren't embarrassed. They were glad to tell people what camp they came from. And, you know, something that's bothersome to me is how many people in our crowd seem to be intimidated by some other crowd somewhere. Don't be intimidated. You don't need to be intimidated. If you're trying to go by the Bible, hey, that's what you're supposed to do. And so when they call you a legalist, just look at them and say, hey, call me whatever you want to. I just try to obey the Bible. And so I'm simply saying that we need to raise the standard high. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed about being a true Bible-believing fundamentalist. And raise your standard high and keep it high. So, number one, get in your camp. Number two, raise your standard high. Number three, don't defile your camp. Notice in Numbers chapter 5, verse number 3, and here the Bible talks about a person who's ceremonially unclean, and it says, both male and female shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. God doesn't want the camp defiled. Be sure that you don't defile the camp through sin. You know, one thing that has damaged the camp that we're in immensely in the last 20 or so years is people who have defiled it through sin. Now, don't misunderstand, all the other camps have sin also, but I'm concerned about ours is what I'm concerned. And so I'm saying don't defile your camp. And then fourthly, be prepared to leave any camp that excludes the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over to the book of Hebrews, notice chapter 13, the very last chapter in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 13, I call your attention to verse 13. The scripture says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, the camp here is talking about apostate Judaism, which had rejected Christ. But right now, I think that the camp we're in knows the presence of the Lord, but I don't know that it will always be so. The groups that are now so far left that you can't even find them, at one time were mightily used of God. The most mightily used group 200 years ago were the Methodists. Now you have a hard time finding a Methodist that even believes the Bible is the Word of God. But back in the days when Wesley was around, that was the most evangelistic group in the world. And so then, if you're not careful, you will find your loyalty being toward institutions and that sort of thing instead of to the Lord. I was thinking earlier, anymore there are just very few Bible colleges that I can recommend. And I'm talking about just a handful. And whenever any group or organization or people, when they exclude Jesus from their camp, then we need to go with him. That's what that verse said. Let us go forth, therefore, not for him, but unto him, without the camp bearing his reproach. Find your camp, get in it, and uphold the standard. The elderly Confederate woman, the war had just ended a few days before, and the Yankees were accepting surrenders, and they came up on this elderly Confederate woman's porch and knocked on the door, and she came out the door with a broom, slinging that broom at these guys. And they chuckled a little bit, and but she wasn't kidding. She kept slinging that broom at them. And finally, one of them said, "Ma'am, do you really think that you can defeat the entire Union Army with that broom?" And she said, "No, I don't, but I can let them know whose side I'm on." And that's always a good thing to do. Find your camp, get in your camp, lift high your standard, don't defile your camp, and be prepared to leave any camp that excludes the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would you bless now tonight these things that we've talked about?